Welcome back
to the Fat and Furious Podcast!
To the Fat and Furious Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about cars that we all love.
Very cool cars.
But cars that we don't want to drive. Not necessarily. At least in this scenario.
Yeah, in this scenario. I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of cars on this list that, I mean, some that I do drive presently.
Yeah.
Well, not presently, but, you
know. That you have driven yes, in the recent have, past, yes. But cannot do it anymore.
Exactly. However, I am planning on taking a trip here in about a month. And Ryan had the idea of doing this episode on cars that you would much rather fly than take a trip in.
Like, we all know the hassle, or I guess not all of us, but most of us know the hassle of, you know, going to an airport, having to get there, you know, 2 hours before your flight just so you can go through TSA, get patted down, all felt up in your giblets.
Fun fact, I've never actually been through a commercial airport since 9/11 happened.
Really?
Straight shit. At least not that I remember.
I have, and it's hell.
I'm sure it is.
It's absolutely hell.
I'm sure it is. That's why I was like, hey, Devin, never been through an airport before. You're flying with me to California, yeah. And then we'll come back.
Like, it's not a bad process. Like, honestly, I enjoy traveling. I enjoy flying. But there are times it is absolutely hell. I have so many horror stories from flying United just in a year span.
Right.
Like, my parents were living out in Hawaii for a year and a half. And so I went out there two times. Once in February of 2019, then once in June of 2019. And going out in there in February, it was an absolute and complete and total clusterfuck.
Yeah.
Like, so we get there. And we get there a little late, mm-hmm. and TSA and all that. We end up missing our flight from Dulles to LAX.
Mm-hmm.
So, second flight we get on, it was horrible, dude. Like, right. it was an older plane, so it was all cramped. There was basically nothing to do for 5.5 hours
yep.
flying over. And it was just a complete and utter shit show. The going back was the first time that I had issue. So, going back from Hilo to LAX,
mm-hmm.
I get on the flight, I'm in the rear bulkhead, and we're sitting there, I'm sitting on the tarmac, we're waiting to go, and, you know, the overcom comes on talking about, you know, hey, we're playing the in-flight safety presentation now. And typically, you know, you have the stewardesses that go through and they clip the seatbelt together, and they put the life vest on and show you how to do it.
Yep.
The stewardess comes back, and she's sitting in the doorway from the bulkhead to regular seating. And in-flight presentation's playing, and she's just sitting there on her phone, just glaring at everyone, just like, what the fuck are all y'all doing here? Like,
right.
why are you here? And I'm just sitting there watching her, like, she's just sitting on her phone.
You're supposed to be doorway. Telling us how to be safe in case of an emergency.
Side-eyeing everyone.
Right.
The intercom goes off, and she just walks away. We're like, all right, cool. Well, good at least I know that, too, you know... Right? If I were to, you know, get in a crash, I would die. Sweet.
Right. If we were to get into a plane crash, going by example, monkey see, monkey do, I play on my phone, and then I live.
Yes, understandable. I just walk away. And then the second flight back, this was like right around the time when United was in, you know, hot shit. I mean, they still are, but in hot shit for, like, you know, pulling, like, physically pulling people screaming off of a flight. Like, I don't know if you remember the Japanese doctor
yes.
who got beat the shit out of him
yes.
and then forcibly removed from the flight.
Yep.
It was that around that time.
Yep, I remember.
So
that.
I'm sitting in the very front of the plane in bulkhead again because, you know, my 6'3" self does not like tiny, you know, flight seats.
Yes.
And we're flying back from LAX to Dulles, and I'm on a red eye. So flight left 5 a.m. Los Angeles time.
Right.
And I'm trying to get some sleep. But, you know, lo and behold, I've got a 2-year-old behind me who is screaming the entire way for the first 2.5 hours.
That is
and
literally...
kicking the seat.
Yep. That's my fear. That is
I,
my fear.
I can't
is
get any
I'm
fucking sleep.
Go.
I'm like, oh my God, I just want to fucking sleep. I am tired and
that
this
is my
hell.
Number one fear, bro, is that some Karen is not gonna, like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of cars on this list that I would much rather drive than fly. 100%.
But it gets worse.
Oh, no.
Like I said, right in the middle of all the hot shit time for United. And I finally get to sleep because the kid behind me finally gets to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm awoken 20, 30 minutes later by the stewardesses basically whisper yelling at the kid's mom,
mm-hmm.
accusing her of stealing blankets. Like, they hand out free blankets and eye masks to anyone who needs them to try to get some sleep. And they're accusing her of stealing these shitty, like, felt blankets. Like, if you, if no one knows what these blankets are like, go into your local, you know, Walmart or art supply store and basically go to the, you know, the section that has, like, you know, the
arts and crafts.
Not the arts and crafts. The basically the giant reams of, like, fabric material. And find the one that almost feels soft but is, like, paper thin.
Yes.
And then just, like, slap a United logo on it, and that's what the blankets are.
Yep.
And they were accusing this woman of stealing them because their 2-year-old, who was, you know, very visibly distressed, kept spilling apple juice on it. So it would soak the blanket, so they're like, hey, we need a new blanket, we got, you know, apple juice on this one. So this woman pulls out her cell phone and starts filming these stewardesses, accusing her of, you know, stealing these blankets, and I'm sitting here like, God fucking damn it, I'm gonna end up on fucking Facebook now as a bystander to these
live leak.
Yeah, no, I was like, all right, you know, this is it. I'm gonna, you know, be part of a viral video now because United's a bunch of assholes that are, you know, accusing this woman of stealing blankets. These 50-cent Walmart
right
felt blankets. I'm Jesus. Like, all right, that's great. So I finally get back to sleep. 30 minutes later, all the lights come on in the cabin. And I'm like, what the fuck? And there's the one thing you never... Oh, one of the things you never want to hear come over the intercom.
This is your captain speaking. Do we have any medical professionals or doctors on board?
Oh, my
If they could
God.
Please report to Section 17A, it would be greatly appreciated.
And I'm like, all right, well, this is how it ends.
Yep, no, like, somebody's dying.
I'm just... Life. This is just the worst in-flight experience I've ever had in my entire life. I just want to fucking sleep.
Right.
We're still an hour outside of... Oh, no, no, no. No, this happened on the Hilo flight. Yeah, yeah. So we're an hour outside of L.A.
Hilo to LX.
And we see... I had someone across the road from me gets up and goes to the back of the plane. Turns out that there, unfortunately, was a Vietnam vet on board who started having an episode. PTSD.
Yeah.
And I feel so bad for him because what ended up happening is he fell asleep and then woke up, didn't remember where he was, and all he could think was that, you know, he's still in fucking Vietnam.
Yeah.
So he starts thrashing about, and, you know, he decked a dude and knocked him unconscious. Jeez. So they had to go back and physically restrain him. And Good we Lord. Land in LAX, and you see all the ambulances piling around, and there's cop cars everywhere. And I get out groggy after being on a red eye. It's 5:00 in the morning. I'm tired as shit. Didn't get to sleep at all because, you know, obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk off the plane. And you know how, you know, short planes are. And I'm tall.
Yeah.
I smack my head off the fucking door. Right in front of
taunts.
Like Thwack. Six cops. And a bunch Thwack. Of medical professionals. And one cop is like 5'6".
Oh, man.
And he watches me do this. And he goes, God, man, I wish I had that problem. I look at him like, no, you don't, dog.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. No, you don't. You really don't.
That was the fun experience I had on that flight. But then...
So it sounds like the moral of the story is that flying sucks.
Yeah.
And we love all these cars that are on these lists, but...
There are some that I would still rather go through.
You'd much rather go through all that bullshit again.
And sometimes it's not even like the plane. Like, going... The second trip out there, going from Dulles to LAX... We get on our plane. I'm sitting, like, at the back of the plane. Parents sitting at the front.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up with bulkhead seating, of course. And I'm, like, you know, my 6'3" fucking self is cramped in the back of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the outside seat. And I've got across from me a kid, a younger mm-hmm. kid, who was a joy the entire time,
mm-hmm.
except he kept shitting his fucking pants. And that was only the beginning of the symphony of smells that I experienced that flight.
I don't want to know if it was actually shitting his pants or if it was just, like, really, really bad fart.
I don't know, but I don't want to know. So we get on this plane. And like I said, sometimes it's not even the plane that's the issue. Sometimes it's just the people there. We had an entire, you know, under age 17 junior soccer team. Like...
Right.
the kids, you know, they were on a travel soccer team. They were going to LAX for a tournament.
Yep.
I, at that point, realized how much of a difference there is between myself and people in the younger generations of Gen X, because they were speaking in what seemed like a foreign language. I had never heard so many different variations of the word bro. They like,
you've never seen the meme where it's like potato chip.
No. I'm not even talking about that. Like, they supplemented O for mm-hmm. different vowels.
Oh.
Like bra, bri, bra, bre, oh. bro, bro.
Oh my god.
Like everything. I'm like, what the fuck are y'all saying?
What are you saying, bruh? I don't get it.
And they all smelled like onions. None of them had taken a shower. I felt onions, like none of them knew what a fucking bro. Shower was.
Onions.
And I was sat next to fucking two of them. And they were like onions. Turning around in their seats. One of them was watching porn the entire flight next to me.
Oh,
and I'm sitting there, I'm like,
god.
Dude, you know, there's kids, like, kids right behind us. Jesus. I fucking get on the plane, I'm sat next to two of them, and they're arguing about, like, hey, can I switch seats? Like, you know, no, bro, this is my seat. I'm the fucking starting striker for this team, and you gotta show some fucking respect to me.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm like, you bunch of entitled fucking 16-year-olds.
Oh,
and then
my god.
There's a British dude that sat right behind me on the aisle seat.
Mm-hmm.
And this mother and her two twins get on and are like, hey, would it be okay if I switch seats with you? I've got kids and we might need to get up to the bathroom.
Yep.
And this British dude's like, no, I can't, unfortunately. And she's like, why? And he's like, I have to get up to the bathroom many times. I've got an issue with my stomach. And so I'll be getting up to use the bathroom multiple times throughout this trip. I'm like, great. So now not only do I have fucking twins behind me, that will probably scream the rest of the way there,
mm-hmm.
but I also have a Englishman with an overactive bladder behind me that's going to be kicking my seat the entire time getting up. And then I have a fucking kid across the aisle from me who I thought was going to be okay because he was calm the entire time. But I shit you not, every time he would fart or shit his pants, he looked me dead in the eyes.
Dude.
Like, he fucking knew what he was doing.
So this episode is why Ryan hates flying.
Yeah, basically. So I tell, anyway, moral of the story, I tell this to Cheyenne, she's like, I'm so glad that I'm taking United.
Right.
I'm like, don't worry, you'll be great. So that was what, you know...
Yeah, what spawned this episode.
That was a really long way of saying, don't fucking fly unless you're taking one of these cars.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Any
soapbox? Yeah, you know what my experience with flying is.
Yes,
I've flown. I will say private, and when I say private, I mean like in 4-seater planes.
Yeah,
right. Like, you know, what the hell are they called? I almost called it a Celica.
Cessna.
Yep. I've flown in a bunch of Cessnas. We've gone up to like Martinsburg and eaten breakfast and stuff like that, and then come back, and that's pretty much it. Right, that's my experience with flying. Like, hey, let's go fly around Winchester. Let's fly down to, you know, whatchamacallit, to Strasbourg or whatever. That's my experience with flying, is in personal aircraft, not like, you know, Learjet or anything bigger than that.
Yeah.
At least not that I remember. I'm sure that I've been through Dulles once or something like that to go whenever we were going from, like, Louisiana to back to here or from here to Louisiana or whatever, but that was back when I was like, you know, 4 or 5, so I don't really remember.
I've done a lot of traveling. Some of it by car, but I've been to Ireland, I practically lived in New York for like the first couple years of my life, going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I've traveled quite a lot, and
so,
some experiences are great, others
right.
not so much.
Right. Okay. So let's say, you know, hypothetical question here. You never want to fly again.
Yep.
Okay? I'm only going to travel inside of the continental United States, maybe to Canada, maybe to Mexico.
Yep.
What car? What car is the car you have, right?
That's a good question,
this
actually.
Is just that, right? Like, I mean, we're going to figure out in the 32 what's the worst car to have.
Yep. What would make you rather go through the pain of flying?
This car you will fly every single time. You will leave it in the garage.
Yep.
And that's where it'll stay.
You won't even take it to the airport.
Right.
That's a good question, actually.
I think that it would have to be like some type of 4Runner, maybe.
I don't know, dude.
But Corey's 4Runner's really comfortable to drive.
Yeah, but there are also a lot other comfortable cars.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. But I mean, like, if you're just thinking of, like, something until the end of time, right?
Toyota reliability is...
Yeah, but who's to say you don't go out and buy another car after the one that you, you know, drive all over the country and back shits itself? I mean, it would have to be not like, you know, peak of luxury like a Rolls Royce, but like I would want something that's got a comfortable ride,
right,
enough cargo space to hold all my shit and anyone that I'm taking with me, and preferably all-wheel drive.
You're on this path. I've noticed this recently. You're on this path where you love the Jeep, but you hate the Jeep. So you're trying to find something that is the Jeep without the Jeep logo.
No, I wouldn't say that.
You are looking at Porsche. All
right, but
to
hear me
fill
out.
That gap.
The reason why I hate the Jeep is because there's nothing inspiring about it.
Okay.
It doesn't sound good. It doesn't handle good. It's okay. Not fast. It doesn't, you know.
Okay.
It does not spark joy.
This one does not spark joy. Now,
however, I like the cargo space.
I understand.
Because I drive literally fucking everywhere. You know, I drove from here to Nashville, over the, you know, over the Smoky Mountains to Chapel Hill, and then Chapel Hill back.
And then back up, yep.
In a week.
I remember.
I mean, that was one of the longest road trips I think I've been on,
okay,
ever.
Okay, so hear me out.
Yeah.
Why buy another SUV when you can buy, like, an RS3 Avant? Same amount of cargo space. If you are talking Porsche versus Audi parts, Porsche is going to be more expensive than Audi.
But the issue is that the Porsche is actually more reliable than the Audi is.
Okay, depending on the motor that you get in the Audi. If you get the inline 5, then no, it's not.
Yeah, but I'm looking at... I don't want to go any older than, like, 2010.
Right, okay.
And if I'm looking at an Avant, buku bucks.
Wagon. I'm just...
Okay,
let's say you have an $80,000 cap. I know that's not what you have.
Right, right.
But you have $80,000.
Right.
Are you going to go out... Are you going to buy a new Cayman? A new RS...
I would 100% buy an RS7, dude.
RS7.
Right. If I had one car to drive around everywhere,
yep,
it would 100% be an RS7.
RS7 Avant?
Yeah. No, not even Avant.
Yeah, because they don't make it Avant.
But like an RS7. I mean, it's aggressive. Like, it sounds fucking amazing. And I know you don't like the Sportback design.
I don't. It's just not something I care for.
I know, but for me, I really like it. It retains, you know, the sleek look of, you know, a sporty sedan, but all the cargo space of a wagon.
It's fair.
So it's, you know, the best of both worlds for me because I've got a lift back where I can throw all my shit in it. The seats lay flat,
okay,
but it still looks like a car.
Okay, so then let's if we're retaining lift back, right? C6 Corvette.
No, I wasn't talking
Viper
about that.
ACR.
I wasn't talking about that. I was more meaning that it retains the look of a car while still having the cargo space of a wagon because
right.
The seats lay flat on it. So if I don't have more than just me and my girlfriend going with me...
2013 WRX wagon.
No.
Same
but I wouldn't want to drive that everywhere. I wouldn't want to drive across country.
Yeah.
I'd slam it on its nuts and, you know, have that be my show car.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
But I wouldn't want to drive that everywhere.
That's fair.
The RS7, at least,
okay,
it looks good. It rides comfortably. It sounds great.
M6, M7. Right? The new M7.
It's
a hot looking car.
Oh, it is. Yeah,
M8,
I mean,
okay.
M8.
How about the M8?
It's actually I saw one the other day. We were going to DC. It was
hot. Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want that to be my go anywhere road trip. I mean, the convertible, you know, GT car kind of look.
I'm not about convertibles either.
But like, you know, if you're going on like a, you know, I'm gonna go drive from here to, you know, fucking New York. Like, sure.
Right. Yeah. 5 hours.
Yeah, whatever. But like, you know, if I'm going somewhere where I'm going to be staying for a while, I'm going to want the cargo space to be able to, like, hey, take my golf clubs, take my suitcases. So that kind of limits it to either wagon, lift back, like sport back, or an SUV of some sort.
Okay. CTSV. CTSV wagon.
I'm not about the wagon on the CTSV. It looks too good as a sedan for me to want to get it as a wagon.
The new CTSV, the Gen 4 CTSV, looks amazing as a sedan.
Right.
The Gen 2 CTSV wagon, there is no comparison.
Just to
that
me,
is
it
the
looks,
best CTSV to date.
It looks too much like a Dodge Magnum to me.
Wow. why you got to do that to me?
And now you can't see
it. I know. You're right. But it is a sexier, classier Dodge Magnum.
It is.
You know that.
It is, but Dodge, it still looks like a Dodge Magnum to me.
The Dodge Magnum is the 7-Eleven crackhead. Whereas the CTSV is the businessman that goes to work every day.
I know, but for me, the CTSV looks too good as a sedan for me to want to get it as a wagon. Mm-hmm. And that's why I couldn't get the CTSV wagon. Because it's like, man, sure, it's a CTSV, a wagon, but I'd rather have...
But would you get the 2-door CTSV or the 4-door CTSV in that year? Not the Gen 4.
In that year?
What's the best, the 2-door, the 4-door, or the wagon? Because I promise you it's the wagon. Like, even up to the Gen 3s where they put the stronger transmissions in them or whatever they did in Gen 3.
If it was just that generation...
It's the wagon.
It's the whack, yeah. Right. But if I've got 80 grand to blow,
yeah, because you're literally paying the same price right now in today's market for a CTSV wagon, like a second to third gen CTSV wagon, as you are a fourth gen Blackwing.
I know, and that's what I'm saying.
That's nuts.
Oh, it's insane, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I could have a fourth gen Blackwing CTSV, or I could have a wagon. The Blackwing looks better.
I think they both, like, the Blackwing looks better because it's a carbon and white interior.
Right, but that's not even what I'm saying. Like, I mean, it looks better. Right. I think it's, I mean, it's a stronger V8. It's one of the best ones that has been produced.
It's the LT, right?
Yeah.
It's or whatever.
Technically speaking, it is its own engine entirely. Right. Like, sure, it's based off of the LT platform, but it is the most advancement that Cadillac has put into a V8.
Yeah.
And it is honestly, apparently it's the last one that they're going to be developing.
Yeah, the last, like, heavy hitter, big power V8 like that. Yeah.
So whereas, it's got a better, and it just, you get all of the added, you know, technology and creature comforts that something of the third gen wouldn't have.
Absolutely.
And if they're the same price, I'm choosing the Blackwing every time.
Right.
But for me, that doesn't meet all the qualifications that I was looking for. One of them being all-wheel drive, specifically because if I'm going to be taking it everywhere, you know, sometimes I might experience, you know,
snow
or rain,
or,
you know, anything outside of a arid, dry desert.
Well, I mean, rain, like, so, yeah, okay, you have a, what is it, 580 and change horsepower CTSV, something like that. I mean, that's on tires and traction control at that point. If you're just cruising, you're just cruising. You're not. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Snow, that's a different story, right? It's
rear-wheel
drive. Traction control's not going to keep up with the amount of power that it has and how slick it is.
Right.
However, in the rain, it's just rain, bud.
Yeah.
It's just rain.
I know. It's just one of those things where, you know, you just have to be more careful than you would be with something with all-wheel drive. I mean, I've spun out my dad's third-gen 4Runner. Like, I was literally just...
Tires,
and
we're going to call that driver error as well.
I would give you that. I mean, I'd only been driving for a year and a half. Right, so I was, you know, it was slick out. It's a rear-wheel drive, natively 4Runner. I put my foot on the gas, goes... And I'm like, ha! Oh my God, it's going sideways. So
I mean, I did that in the truck on, you know, 35-inch... Nitto Trail Grapplers.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
I did it when I worked at Malloy Toyota. I did it in a 2010 TRD rock crawler or something like that. TRD something like that. Mm-hmm. Rock Warrior. Tundra.
Nice.
I was pulling out of a parking lot, and it was just drizzling. Just drizzling. And I go to step on it a little bit, it goes...
Like,
yep, spins gravel out the back of it, and then I end up like going sideways onto the main road, and I'm like, oh my God!
It's party time!
I don't own this car. I'm gonna lose my job. But yeah, I would probably.
Yeah, I mean, like honestly, the Porsches and the Range Rovers are probably like a good look.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you don't have Porsche or Range Rover money to fix Porsche or Range Rover problems,
that's entirely it's entirely based off of your ability.
Absolutely.
Like, because I've been doing this whole, like, looking, because I really do want one.
Yeah.
It looks looks great. Absolutely. It sounds great. I've been looking into it, and I mean, from what I can tell, you only get into issues if you decide, hey, I'm going to take my Porsche to the Porsche dealership to get an oil change. Like, if you're handy enough to do the oil changing yourself, the motors themselves are really reliable, as long as you don't get the turbo. And even then, the turbos are still reliable.
Yeah, they're just but not as...
But the 4.8 V8 out of the 9.5A generation Cayenne is rated to 250,000 miles. Easy. Yeah. Any day of the week. I mean, they're strong motors, and as long as you don't decide, hey, I'm going to, you know, go in for... As long as you keep the maintenance up, and you're able to do it yourself, you're not looking at, you know, much more than the average car. Because the average car is $700 in maintenance every year.
Okay, but look at it like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
The average car is $700 in maintenance every year. How much money do you think you put into your Jeep since you've owned it? And I know you've owned it for a little more than a year, but honestly...
More than I want to.
Right. Rotors and pads for the Jeep costed you $300 and change.
Right.
Okay. The oil change that we did on it, I don't know how long ago, was like $70 or whatever. And then you got wheels and tires, but your old tires were getting away from you, and you spent $400 on that. So that's already $770 on a Jeep.
Right. And again, that's average maintenance.
Right. What do you think rotors and pads are going to cost for a Cayenne?
I actually looked into that. So... The rotors and pads on a Cayenne are rated to longer than what I have, obviously.
Okay.
And they're sourced by Brembo.
Okay.
So I was looking at a replacement kit for rotors and pads all around. It's, I think it was like $800 for rotors and pads.
Holy shit!
But that's for all four. That's for all four.
Dude!
But they're rated to, I think it's...
You're, okay, so
40,000 miles
so
more.
Your pads are all about how often you hit the brakes.
Right.
Like, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your pads say they're rated to. You can have the quietest, best, most long-lasting pad that you could ever buy.
Right, but it's all about how much you brake.
So, for somebody to say that these brakes will last 40,000 miles longer than another set of brakes,
but that's just
bullshit.
It is, entirely.
The rotors, maybe. That I can understand because it's different tooling.
Yeah, and rotors you don't have to necessarily change out every single time
you get
brakes.
You'll probably put one set of rotors on it for every 15, 20 set of pads you put on it.
Right.
And that's if, you know, if you're... driving the car like a grandma and not driving the car like it's a Porsche Cayenne with a 4.8, V8.
Which, technically speaking, I wouldn't be able to anymore. I can't. I physically can't. Because I lose my discount on my car insurance if I do.
What do you mean?
I have... My dad got us one of the little, smart, drive safe and safe things.
God.
Dude, it's a 20% discount on my insurance. My insurance went from $120 to now sitting at $45.
That's not a 20% discount.
I know. That was the discount as it was. But if I were to, not use it or, drive like a fucking idiot, not only would my premiums go up, but my parents would as well.
So, okay, hear me out. Don't put that in the Porsche. I don't want anyone else knowing what my car is doing and when.
Right.
Because that's not just a, hey, this dude went over the speed limit by 5 miles an hour. This is a, you are now providing proof to your insurance company and or an officer that needs it.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
Against your case.
Right.
Right? And
I agree.
Now, they would have to get a warrant, and they would have to do a whole bunch of other shit, legality reasons. But what I'm saying is provide as little proof as possible that you're doing stupid shit.
While I agree, I have to have it in there, because I can't just, leave it at home. Because it notices, hey, you haven't driven your car in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
What's up there, pal?
No, you know what you should do is you should do drive-by-mile. Or, what is it? Allstate has it. It's the, pay by the mile. That's what it is. It's literally what it is.
Yeah.
Pay by the mile that you
but
drive.
Because the way that it works is it has an app you have to download on your phone. Because it tracks, hey, you're texting and driving and that's illegal.
Yeah, I'm good, pal. I am good with my 2002 WRX and I'll do 130 mile an hour until the wheel bearing gives out and
I know, but it's one of those things where, you know, again, going back to the initial point, like, if you were to, you know, have this car, it's not like it's going to be, you know, I'm paying $6,000 to keep it up there. Like, I looked at the maintenance cost of a Nissan GTR, because I was like, all right, what's the maintenance cost of it?
And
yeah, an R35. Yeah. And the dude who did all of the technical and car shit for the first four Fast and Furious movies, he owns an R35, and he broke it down year by year what he spends. And he's like $1,500. Average maintenance cost on a, you know, a yearly a car for an average person is like $700.
Yeah, it's not okay. So to have not even putting it lightly, the car's a fucking supercar.
Yeah.
Right. The R35 is a supercar.
Right.
It's so fast, it's not even funny. So to have a car with that performance level and only be double an average car, as in like a Focus or a Fusion, or a Chevy SS, or, you know, something like that, like a normal car.
Yep.
To only be double,
mm-hmm.
that's not terrible. Whereas, like, you get it, you get into like Lamborghinis or Ferraris or
3,000, 4,000, yeah, exactly.
You're going quadruple to maybe 5 to 6 times the amount that people are spending per year on their cars. They're spending in wheels and tires.
Yeah, just wheels and tires.
Rotors, maybe.
Yeah.
Right? Like, actually, I'll tell you what. Daily Driven Exotics blew up a McLaren 720.
No.
Detonated the motor. This isn't just like, oh no, the motor stopped. No, there's a hole.
I know what the problem is.
Yeah.
It ain't got no gas in it.
yeah, they were driving it. He was going under a bridge. I watched the video. The one filmer dude's in the McLaren or whatever, or in the they have a 600 LT, I think, and he was in that, the guy that was filming, and he did a flyby in the 720 GTR, and then went boosh, and you saw a giant ass explosion out of the bottom of it, and he was like, oh shit, dude, you gotta pull that thing over right now. What the hell is going on with the lights?
Satan!
Yeah, no. Be gone, demon! Sorry, the lights are flickering. Yeah.
I had a poltergeist moment here.
Yeah, right. The lights are flickering in the room, but my lamp light isn't flickering, which is interesting. That makes me think that those lights are getting ready to go out.
LEDs, they shouldn't. It might just be a wiring issue.
It's never done that before. Not once. Not my entire time living here for, what, 14, 15 years now? No. Anyways, what was it? Oh, yeah. So the 720 does the flyby and then literally grenades out of the bottom of it, right? And he was like,
I hope they had a car's extended warranty on that thing.
Yeah. No, they didn't get that call that day.
I hope they already have one.
Had the flyby. Grenaded out of the bottom of it. They pulled over and they were like, dude, you literally leaked all of the oil out of the car in the last 5 feet you drove, right? And they were like, what are you talking about? And it's Daily Driven Exotic, so he's not super knowledgeable about cars. He's more of the, I'm gonna drop it off at this dealership, they're gonna fix it for me, I'm gonna pick my car back up, I like my car.
Yeah,
he's that type of dude, which is fine. I mean, if you have enough money to buy a Mercy SVJ or a Mercy SV, an Aventador SVJ, and a Carrera GT all in the same year, you have enough money to do that, right? So, okay, cool. I'm gonna drop my McLaren off, and while you know it's here, I'm gonna have a wide body put on it, so it is the McLaren 720 GTR.
Yep.
Right, like the race car. Got all that done, and then the mechanic finally got the motor out of it, and he was looking at it, and he was like, no, this wasn't just like a, it broke.
Yep.
This is you literally have a piston-sized hole in the side of the block of your McLaren.
Oh, man.
Like, this literally grenaded in the car as you were driving it. And he was like, what happened? How did that happen? No idea. No clue if it was just like a weak casting or whatever.
Sometimes it just happens.
Just literally, he was driving it and the car exploded.
Yep.
It was fucking crazy to watch. If you guys are interested in seeing that, it is Daily Driven Exotics on YouTube. And it
it was nuts. Dude. Yeah. It was crazy.
I mean, it's, again, back to my questionable decisions.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, so the point of that was you're spending easily another $70,000 on a motor for a McLaren 720 GTR.
Yeah.
Easily. Yeah, right? like maintenance costs for, you know, cars that are of that category are astronomically crazy.
Astronomical.
Yeah.
But, I mean, back to my possibly questionable decision to maybe buy a Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like it's going to be that much of a jump compared to...
Correct.
Like, maybe $300
okay.
extra compared to a yearly maintenance on my Jeep.
Right.
And that's me.
Okay, but
you know,
did
if you have to do pads and rotors, then sure, you're going to be out more than you will be doing pads and rotors on Jeep. But,
okay, but
the set that I was looking for of an equivalent caliber, because the ones that I was finding were like, you know, if I wanted to get new pads and rotors, the only sets that they were making were like performance, like almost stop tech level.
Well, yeah.
So, and those were like, you know.
It's Hawk pads and.
And those were like only, and those were $300 for fronts and $300 for rears.
Yeah.
So $600 compared to $800 for.
Yeah, but it's also something that you can't just go into AutoZone and be like, "Let me get a set of Steelies."
Right.
You literally cannot.
Right, but I mean, you can still. I mean, if you know, like, hey, I'm going to need pads and rotors soon, I can at least, you know, budget for that and order
in the future, right?
And order them.
Yeah. That's
and
fair.
I mean, I'm not going to have to be changing rotors out every time because they are performance oriented.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But
now,
I mean, what I'm looking at is like
where the
not,
difference
not just
is
pads and rotors, but
right.
like. Hubs or fuel lines or a fuel tank
right.
or something like little bullshit that you would never think would ever go out on a car, how much is that to replace?
I found that out too.
Oh, okay.
FCP Euro actually has a whole section on OE spec or OEM parts
mm-hmm.
for, you know, different German brands.
Yep.
You know, they do it everything for VW because most of the parts that carry over because Porsche is part of the Audi VW group.
Yeah.
Most of their stuff is VW.
Toric.
Yeah.
It's Touareg stuff.
Not everything, obviously.
Yeah.
The first two generations, so 955 and 957, and into the first couple years of 958,
mm-hmm.
they had to share congruent parts with the Touareg. That's
yeah,
why
Touareg,
they had the 3.2 VR6 and then the 3.6 VR6.
Yeah.
Those were both, you know, in Audi VW group motors.
Right.
In the base model. The 4.5 V8 was essentially just an Audi V6 that they slapped two extra cylinders on.
Yep.
And reoriented everything a little bit to make it easier to work on.
Yep.
Surprisingly.
Right.
And the
like,
4.8,
hey, that's called thinking. Good
yeah,
job.
Yeah. And then the 4.8 V8 was a drastic improvement on that.
Yeah.
But if you go into like, you know, shopping for, you know, for whatever reason, a fuel tank or you have to get fuel lines, FCP Euro has a lifetime warranty on those things. Same with their brakes and rotors. So it's a little bit higher of an investment.
Yeah, but okay, so the warranty on brakes and rotors is not use of brakes and rotors.
That's the
it's
thing, though.
Fault.
FCP Euro has a use warranty.
Yeah, but that's if you use it up in a certain amount of time.
Right. But at least you have the peace of mind, like, hey, you know, I kind of fucked up and, you know, tightened down all of my lugs to an astronomical amount of torque. And now on the left side, it's ran completely through.
Yeah.
Which I unfortunately have done in the past. I did that on my dad's 4Runner. Ran through an entire set of carbon composite brakes in less than 10,000 miles. And we thankfully had a use warranty on it, but that was the issue.
Right.
So, I mean, if you do that, you don't have to reinvest into brand new pads and rotors. But, you know, it's one of those things where, I mean, if you're just changing out pads... It's through Brembo, so you can go through
yeah.
and get a set of Brembo pads for, you know, however much. The difference is if your car, for whatever reason, came with the PCCS upgrade, the Porsche carbon composite, or PCCB, yeah, Porsche carbon composite brake system.
Oh, that's the...
That is the ultra-performance, like...
Yeah, you are literally running carbon ceramic dual element rotors.
Yes.
Which means you have an aluminum hub on a carbon ceramic disc that bolts together.
Yep. I don't know how much that costs.
Yeah, fucking twin disc carbon ceramic shit is fucking expensive. That's race car level shit.
Brake change all the way around, $10,000.
Jesus.
It's a $5,000 upgrade when you get it from factory. and they're rated for a shit ton of miles.
Oh,
but if you have to change the brakes on them, it's 10 grand. Same brakes as what's on the Urus.
Yeah.
Same spec as what's on the Urus. The
gigantic ass fucking 8-pot.
Same exact spec as what's on the Urus.
Dude, those look so good though,
bro. But $10,000 for a brake change, dude.
I know.
Like, I can stomach maybe $1,000 all the way around to get, you know, brand new pads and rotors. I can stomach $300-$400, you know, if I have to get new pads from Brembo, because I know, like, all right, you know, these are good brakes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fucking die, and they're going to last me a good amount of time.
Yep.
I can stomach that. Fucking $10K to just change the brakes and rotors.
Yeah.
Like the pads and rotors.
That's crazy.
Not to mention if you have to get caliper change on that.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I don't even want to know what that 8-pot front goes for. I don't. I really
Fuck, bro. Yeah, so that's why I'm like, if I'm looking at this, I'm like, all right, I got to look at what options are on it, because I don't want one with that.
You literally have to micromanage every single option to see, you know, what the problems with the twin turbo was versus the non-turbo versus the, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in looking at this, like, I've realized, like, I mean, it's not a bad deal, because, I mean, it's a great all-wheel drive system. It's Audi's similar to Audi's Porsche.
From the Q8.
Yes, yeah. So it's similar to that. It's, you know, it's a really nice ride. You know, if you wanted to go with the extra hassle, they offer a magnetic, the same magnetic suspension change as what's in your mom's...
The Range Rover.
Yeah, the Range Rover. The same, similar setup. Obviously not the same.
MagnaRide is MagnaRide. There's no real way to change that.
You comfort, eco, you know, sport mode, whatever. You can get that if you want. But again, that's something that could possibly fail.
Yep.
So there's a lot of options. And, you know, if you just get the one that's like, hey... It's got the 4A V8, it's got cooled seats, it's got, you know, all the really nice things, but it doesn't have the extra things that could cause headache.
Right.
It's not a bad deal.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Anyway, I don't remember what the initial conversation was.
Yeah, honestly.
I think it was, what car would we rather road trip in? I didn't even get to hear what yours was.
I was saying something like a 4Runner or something like that. But yeah, no, I mean, I completely understand the Porsche. I completely get it. I just, like, for Porsche money, there's, like, I don't know. I don't know where I would go with Porsche money, you know what I mean? There's a lot of things that I want to road trip in. I'm just not an SUV guy.
Right.
So, like, I would, for Porsche money, I would absolutely have, like, a CTS-V or, you know, a better WRX that I could put way more money into, you know, whatever.
But, I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, you and I have different needs or wants when it comes to a daily driver. Like, you're perfectly okay with, you know, your essentially two-seater WRX, which I actually have a video to show you.
It's not even essentially, it is. There is no back seat in the car.
Right. So, I mean, you're perfectly fine with that, and it works for you. That's great. Like, I have a 115-pound German Shepherd and a girlfriend, and we go camping all the time. So, I unfortunately, as much as I would like to have something smaller that I could daily drive...
See, but, okay, so hear me out. The German Shepherd will fit in the back seats.
Right.
And you can put all your camping gear in the back seat of the GT sedan.
But I don't want to.
See...
It's a lot easier to have. It's
easier to have
more space.
Big trunk. But did you know that the a tangent?
Yep.
The WRX has 12 cubic.
Yeah, I know. We were looking at this on the
12 cubic foot of space in the trunk. You know how much the Focus has? 8.
Yep.
A Focus hatch
has
8 cubic feet.
It's a smaller car too, technically though. The Focus is.
A Focus hatch.
Yeah.
Though. Like, I guess it's smaller, but I have more storage space in a WRX.
I mean, technically now your storage space is the entire, front and back half of the car.
From the exact, where your back sits all the way to the trunk lid is all storage space.
Yeah.
Storage space for a roll cage, whenever that happens, just saying.
But, I mean, it's one of those things where I have different needs and wants just because... As fun and, you know, as comfortable as you seem to think the WRX is, it's just not where I'm at. As far as I've got, you know, I was cursed with big hips.
Yeah.
So, sitting in those bolsters for 8 hours is not something I would like to do.
Mm, fair.
And, I mean, if I'm going to be, you know, driving a WRX around, I'd want to do what you've done, where I put track seats in it and use it as, like, an actual fun car.
Yeah.
And that's not really what I want to take on a road trip. But that's just me. That's just me.
Fair. Absolutely.
Different strokes for different folks, but...
So, getting into not wanting to drive certain cars, you think it's time for the
third? I think it's time for... I think we bullshitted enough.
Yeah, I agree. I'd honestly, that we've been through so many fucking...
Fucking 45 minutes.
Are we really 45
minutes?
Yeah,
we had a 30-minute long tangent.
That does not... Dude, I swear to God, we're only 15 minutes into this.
That's because we've only covered like 15 minutes of actual content having to do with the episode.
With the episode, right. Okay. So the 32 this week is about cars you really, really just would much rather fly to your destination than drive. Starting us off in round one, we have two race cars, essentially.
Yeah.
We have the,
for all intents and purposes, the
Lamborghini Aventador SVJ, although a cool car. Does not get very good gas mileage because, you know, big ass V12.
Yep, and I would be way too afraid of destroying all the carbon fiber.
Indeed.
On a normal highway wear.
And the same thing as the Aston Martin N24.
Now, this is a car that I didn't know about originally.
Neither did I.
I looked up, you know, worst cars to road trip in, and this is what showed up as the top of the list. I'm like, oh!
It's basically a toned down, what is it, DB?
So it's the Vantage. It's a 2006 Vantage.
Right.
That was spec'd out to use on the 24 Hours of Nürburgring, hence the N24.
Ah.
So it's essentially just a stripped out Vantage.
It's a track car.
It is, for all intents and purposes, their version of the race car that is street legal and can be, you know, registered.
Has a plate.
Yeah, has a plate.
So would you much rather not drive the Aventador?
I would much rather not drive the track car.
I agree with that statement.
It is an uninsulated metal box.
I agree with that statement. All right, next up, we have the V10 Ford Excursion or a Porsche 911 GT2 RS.
I
half cage in a Porsche, very little storage space, or all the storage space, slightly comfortable with 5 miles to the gallon.
I think in this matchup, I would honestly rather drive the Excursion, I think.
The Excursion than the Porsche?
I mean, it would trundle through everything. You wouldn't feel a bump on the road. And it's got fucking Lazy Boy recliner captain chairs. I mean, if I'm going on a road trip, I'd rather have that, but, you know, it just doesn't have any gas mileage, but...
You're right. Okay. Yeah, I'll give it to the... which one is worse? That's what we're going for.
I think the GT2 RS is worse.
Okay. All right.
Another matchup, it may have been different, but...
Yeah. McLaren Senna or the Mercedes-Benz CLA 250.
The CLA 250 is the cheapest car MSRP on Mercedes' roster, but... the issue and the reason why it's on this list is because it's small.
Very.
Very, very small. For a sedan, they actually on their website call it a four-door coupe.
Yes.
Which, if that sounds, you know...
Weird, is because it is.
It's because it is, yeah. No, it's just, it's got no storage space. It's got very little passenger space in the rear. Yeah. But I'd still rather do that than a Senna.
Okay. No, that's fair.
I'd be way too afraid to fuck up something on the Senna.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, here's a good one. GD chassis, Subaru STI, right? 02 to 07.
Mm-hmm.
Or the older generation of Acura NSXs. That's 96 to 2004?
Something like that, yeah.
I think. I don't remember the exact years
late
for the 90s, NSX, but...
early 2000s.
Yeah. It's literally... That's the J motor? The V6 is the J series Honda?
Yeah.
That's in that one?
It's a slightly toned up J series.
Yeah. Shit. If I was like... So, my trip that I'm going on here in a month is going out to California to drive a car to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was going to drive a car, either one of these cars from California to Kentucky, I would look cooler in the NSX. I would feel more comfortable in the STI.
Yeah, my dad actually almost bought an NSX back in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. They were living in Memphis at the time, and some dude was selling it for $20,000.
Oh, dude.
And my dad almost bought it. And the reason why he didn't was because of how fucking uncomfortable it was. Like, he's a little bit taller than I am.
Mm-hmm.
But every time they would go over a bump, he would smack his head on the top of the roof of the car. And if you wanted to see any stoplights, you either had to park 30 feet behind the white line to see, or you had to, like, you know, crane your neck. So I wouldn't want to deal with that on a road trip.
Absolutely. All right. NSX is moving forward. All right. Honda Prelude or the Jeep Wrangler? I would much rather road trip a Wrangler than what I am currently going out to to road trip.
I'd agree with that. There aren't many things that I would rather road trip over a Jeep Wrangler, but
Yeah.
I guess it also depends on what is done to the Wrangler. I mean, if it's a stock suspension, it's not going to be extremely comfortable, but I'd rather do that than a lifted Wrangler. Fucking death wobble down the highway.
Absolutely. All right. Next, we have the Corvette ZR1. Any of them.
Yeah.
Any Corvette. C4, C5, C6, or C7, because they haven't made a C8 yet. Or any Tesla.
This is kind of a hot take on the Teslas, because, I mean, sure, they're getting better range, but
as of right now, I'm not waiting for 13 hours for my car to charge.
Yeah, I mean, like one of the... but and that's the thing, because you can chart your destination to, you know, include
The
superchargers,
yep,
or the fast charger, whatever they're called, but that's so inconvenient.
100%.
Like, I have to specifically chart my route to my destination around maybe having a fast charger.
Yep. You know what? I think that the Tesla would be worse than a ZR1.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing. Because sure, it's luxurious. It's got the autopilot. It's got all these cool features. But
if I can genuinely only make it 400 miles at a time, it would take me... so we'll call 400 miles and then 10 hours of charging, right?
Yep.
400 miles plus 10 hours, you're basically driving 400 miles a day, and it's a 1,400-mile trip.
You're adding days
onto
your travel time. Not just like a couple hours here and there for a normal stop. You're adding days.
Yeah, it's going to take Devin and I 3 days to drive the Prelude from California to Kentucky. It would take us an entire week, if not 10 days, to drive the Tesla from
California. And that's what, if you have one of the economy ones. We're not talking like a Plaid.
Right.
Because the Plaid is even less range.
Exactly.
That's like 1,000 horsepower, and I think it's like maybe 200-300-mile range.
Yep.
Something like that. Like, my Jeep Grand Cherokee has a better range than Tesla Plaid.
Yes.
And I don't have to chart my destination to Jeep Grand Cherokee to find a gas station, because they're fucking everywhere.
Exactly. All right. A Nismo 370Z... or an S chassis. I really like 90s cars.
I do too, but I think I'd rather, if I'm going on a road trip, I'd rather have the creature comforts of, you know, a more modern car, you know, GPS, better air conditioning.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, for me, I'm like, as long as it has a radio in it, I'm fine.
Right.
And I use my phone GPS. I don't use...
I know, but I'm saying, like, you know, having Apple CarPlay or, you know, all the things that you would get out of a 370 Nismo, I'd be more happy to do an 8-10-hour road trip in a Nismo than I would an S-Chassis.
Okay. All right. Hey, S-Chassis moves forward then. All right. The Alfa Romeo 4 or 8C. Both cars are kind of in the same category. Or a Mazda RX-7. I think I would much rather drive an RX-7 than a Mazda.
Yeah.
Than an Alfa.
and the Alfa, I think it's kind of two things. Mm-hmm. For one, how fucking rare they are.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a super limited car, but also, and this is going to sound weird, the RX-7 Dorito is more reliable.
Than an Alfa. 100%.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, a weird one.
Yeah.
Fiat 500 Abarth. Or a Lamborghini Murcielago Super Veloce.
These are kind of two categories of...
if I'm going to be honest with you, I think I would much rather road trip a Mercy.
Over in a Barth, yeah.
Over
in a 100%.
Barth. Like, yes, that V12 is going to hate its life.
Yep.
But it will continue to hate its life. The entire time.
Yep.
However, that 1.3-liter turbo... is going to get way better gas mileage.
Yes, but it's also going to be screaming at you the entire way there.
Yes. Well, I mean, so is the Mercy.
Yeah, but the Mercy, at least, it's not going to be... you know, the interior drone you get out of a straight piped 1.3 turbo.
Yeah, but it will be the interior drone you get out of a, you know, I guess they Murcielago have, V12.
I guess they have, right, you know, very similar drone factors, but for some weird reason...
Scissor doors and yeah. the SV wing.
I also think there might be more space in a Murcielago.
You know what? You're absolutely right. For as long as that car is, I think there's more cargo space in a Mercy than there is.
Even though it's a frunk, I still think there's more cargo space in a Murcielago.
That is very weird.
That's extremely weird to say. I don't know.
Okay. Would you much rather road trip a Honda S2000 or a Dodge Viper? These have very, very similar problems, and they shouldn't.
Yeah.
They are both very cramped cars.
Yep.
For as big as the Viper is, it almost feels like you're sitting in an S2000.
Yeah.
However, you have a 10-mile-long hood on a Viper.
Yeah.
Because it's literally a V10 versus a straight 4 out of an S2000.
They're very similar proportions despite being extremely different in size.
Yes, exactly.
Although I still think I'd rather take a Honda S2000 over a Viper. It's just, I have a feeling it's just going to be more comfortable.
Okay, yeah, 100%. Because you're not, like, sitting on the ground in the S2000. Yeah. You're still, you know, upright, still driving in a comfortable position in an S2000. Yeah. All right. The E30 BMW M3.
God's chariot.
Or the Mark III R32 Golf. I think I would much rather drive the Golf.
I would, too. I just...
That E30's not going to be a fun drive.
No.
Fun drive for 8 hours.
No.
All right. The Mercedes SLS AMG / AMG GTR chassis or the Mazda Miata? I would much rather drive a Miata than the AMG.
I would much rather drive an AMG, dude.
Really?
100%. Yeah, so Shmi.
Yeah.
Shmi 150, one of the, you know, OG car tubers on YouTube, has all three Black Series. Mm-hmm. He has,
the SLS.
So he's got the SLS, AMG, he's got the AMG TTR Black Series, and then he's got the C63 AMG Black Series.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So he's got all three of those.
Yep.
And he took them on a road trip from England, where he lives, mm-hmm. to Germany.
Right.
An actual road trip in all three Black Series, mm-hmm. as well as their G63 AMG G-Wagon.
Right.
And he looked like he had the time of his life. And then he took it down to, like, he flew it down to Dubai. Mm-hmm. And then drove it around Dubai.
Hmm.
I mean, it's doable. I mean, I'm sure there's other comfortable cars. And honestly, I'd still be afraid of, you know, fucking it up. But I think it'd be a lot more comfortable than...
than a Miata.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, for the 30 seconds that I've actually driven a Miata, it's not comfortable.
No, it's not. Cool little roadster, yes.
Yeah.
Long range road tripper?
No.
Hell no.
Alright. The Ferrari 458 Speciale.
And above, I think.
And
is
above.
What we kind of weak.
Yep. Because, I mean, the 488 Pistas. Yeah. Just the normal 488.
The SF90. The F8 Tributo, the new one.
All of that style car.
Yep.
Or a 98 F250 with the 460 in it. I think I'm driving the Ferrari.
I am 100% driving the Ferrari.
I think I'm driving the Ferrari. All right, the C8 Corvette.
Yeah.
Or the Bugatti Veyron.
Yeah.
I really think the C8 Corvette is an uncomfortable car to sit in.
I do too. However,
I also know that a tire change on a Veyron,
Yep.
Because they use specific tires only available to Bugatti owners.
There's only a specific type of tire that can withstand 250 miles an hour.
Exactly. is $15,000.
Yes, it's one of those things where, like,
tires, because they are all 355s.
Yep.
They are all wide, and they are all, what is it, ZX rated? That's 250
plus. They're made
plus.
With carbon fiber.
Yeah.
Like, tires made with carbon fiber in order to withstand the amount of friction and downforce that's being put upon them.
Okay, so road trip a C8 or road trip a Veyron.
It's one of those things where if I were looking at my computer about to purchase tickets and I looked out into my garage and was like,
We could
road trip the Veyron.
I would do it. I would 100% do it. I would road trip the Veyron. If I had somebody with me that was like, you know what we could do? We could road trip the Veyron. I would look at him like he was a fucking dumbass.
Yeah. And then say, let's go.
I'm down.
Let's do it at the same time, you're like, yeah, we can fucking do it. And then you're like, I'm going to buy the plane tickets. Because you're one rock chip away from like $15,000 of body work.
Yeah, but like...
Or one blowout away from $15,000 worth of tires. The C8 Corvette, I would at least,
I would do it. I would 100%.
Over a C8, though? Like, sure, the C8 might be a little more uncomfortable, but I would rather, in that sense, like, sure, I wouldn't really want to, road trip either of them long distance compared to, like, flying, but...
Yeah, but...
I could justify...
I can see driving the Corvette, right? Right. But just to be able to say I drove... the Veyron, 1,500 miles. I drove it from California to Kentucky.
As much money as a first-class ticket on gas.
Yeah.
Out of that W16 quad turbo.
W16 all-wheel drive, yeah.
In this sense, I think I would rather road trip the Corvette.
Okay.
Just because of all the maintenance costs you might incur, and then, $1,300 worth of gas.
Yep, that's absolutely fair. All right, next, would you much rather road trip a classic Mustang or any of the Skyline GTRs?
I would rather the
Skyline being the R31, R32, R33, R34, not the R35. I would much rather drive the Skyline.
I would 100% drive the Skyline over a classic Mustang.
Absolutely.
I never thought I'd say that it'd be more comfortable to... driving a Skyline, but it'd be more comfortable than
a classic Mustang. 100%. All right, Hummer H1 or John Cooper Works Mini Cooper.
Now, when I put this on this list, I honestly thought the John Cooper Works was going to be, one of those things where like, I wouldn't want to drive that. But compared to a Hummer H1, I'm not sure.
Compared to a Hummer H1, I would drive a John Cooper Works Mini every day of the week.
Yeah.
Every day of the week.
Yeah, every day of the week.
Okay, so here's the issue. If you're paying attention, you vigilant listeners, we do appreciate that. Number one, number two, you'll notice we didn't put a single Audi on this list.
Yep.
All the Audis are fucking good. I'm sorry, all of them are. Genuinely, all of the Audis are good, except for like the late '90s. Early 2000s Audis, right?
Even if we think of something like, the RS, what is the RS2 is the lowest?
I mean, think about A4.
Yeah.
I would still drive a mid-2000s Audi A4 over pretty much everything on this list. Honestly, all the Audis are just good road trip cars.
Yeah.
All of them. Sport Quattro. Audi Sport Quattro, with the inline 5 turbo. Would you? Yeah, over a lot of the stuff on this list. Yeah. Honestly, I wouldn't want to put the miles on the car because of how rare it is, but I mean, you could say the same thing about the fucking
Veyron. I guess the only thing I could think of is, if you were in a Sport Quattro, it probably wouldn't be the most comfortable ride.
Yeah, but I mean, it's an 80s. It's an 80s wagon. It's a sport wagon.
That's valid, yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
I'd say, most Audis, all Audis, I think I would, than most of these.
Like the R8 would be pretty much everything on this list.
Yeah.
I would much rather drive an R8 than anything on this list.
That's very valid. it's luxurious, it rides well, and then it's sporty as fuck.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, V10 or V8 with the gated manual.
Yeah.
I would drive both. So, sorry, we love you, Audi, you're too good for our shit car list.
I mean, granted, none of these are really shit cars. Yeah. But, all of these have a place in my heart where I'm like, I'd rather pay for the plane ticket.
Absolutely.
I'd rather get felt up by a TSA agent.
Round two. Aston Martin N24 or the Porsche GT2 RS. I would much rather drive the Porsche.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely.
They're both very close to the same as far as track car status, but the Porsche has air conditioning.
Yeah, right. The older NSX or the McLaren Senna. I would much rather drive a Senna.
I'd much rather drive a Senna, yeah.
Prelude or Tesla? I would much rather drive a Prelude.
Yes, yeah. It's just too inconvenient.
Yep. S chassis or Alpha 4/8C?
I think I'd rather drive the Alpha. Yeah.
You'd much rather drive the Alpha. I think I'd rather drive the Alpha. Chassis? At least you know, even if it's an even if it's a the SR20, Sylvia,
yeah.
Then you know it'll run.
That's fair. Yeah.
Fiat 500 versus Viper. I think I would much rather drive a Viper. That's just me.
Yeah, but long range. They're both not good for road trips.
No,
honestly, this is.
I mean, you're either driving a NAV10, which guzzles gas but is more comfortable to drive, or a Fiat 500 Abarth, right, so, which is a turbo banger.
Here's a way to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Which of these two cars, if you looked at in your garage, would make you go, "Yeah, no, I'm not fucking driving that." More. Like, which would be easier to come... Like, which could you not rationalize?
Viper, I would not rationalize. I would look at the Viper... If I had both of them in my garage, the Viper would say, I would never fucking drive this. The Abarth, I'd be like, eh. No, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, right, I could make it work, but I'm still going to buy the plane ticket.
So, the Viper is the worst of the two cars.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. E30 M3 or the Miata. I'd much rather drive a Miata because they are both just as small as each other. It's just one is a fucking four-door,
right,
and the other is a Mazda.
You think you'd rather drive the Mazda?
I think I would.
I mean,
honestly, it's an E30 BMW. It's not an E36. It's not an E40.
The only thing it has going for it, honestly, is that it's got more cargo space, and that's about it. Because they're both going to be small.
I could put the little lunch bag rack on the back of my Miata and have the same amount of cargo space that I have in that M3.
That's valid. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
All right. The 98 F250 with the 460 in it or the Bugatti Veyron. They both slurp down the same amount of gas.
I was about to say, they're both going to have the same MPG.
It's just, you won't be in a pickup truck, boy, or do you want to be in Bugatti?
This is a weird one.
I honestly think I would much rather drive the F250.
You think? Over the Bugatti?
It's a comfortable ride, dude.
Yeah, but like Rolls Royce at 200 miles an hour comfortable, or big truck that gives no fucks comfortable?
Well, obviously big truck that gives no fucks comfortable, but you're not mobbing at 200 mile an hour the entire time.
Obviously.
You'll probably touch 160 before your butthole leaves a fucking brown mark on the white seat of the car.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know. What do you think? Would you much rather drive... Would you much rather road trip a Veyron from California to Kentucky?
You know, it's a hard one because, honestly, it's one of those things where I'd be so afraid of fucking something up in the Veyron more than I would be the F-250.
Well, yeah, you fuck something up in the F-250, you leave it on the side of the road and you hitchhike.
But I also... No, it'd be a lot more creature comforting inside of the Veyron, and just a lot more comfortable.
By creature comforting inside of the Veyron, you mean it has a quartz clock and that's it.
Nice leather seats.
Yeah, okay, there you go. But like late
'90s, I'd rather do the F-250.
Yeah. I really don't think there was another argument for that, which sucks.
No, you did the wrong one. Wait, no.
Remember, shittier cars are moving forward. Yep. Classic Mustangs or the Hummer H1? I think I am driving a Mustang.
Over the H1?
Over the H1?
No.
Yeah. Dude, we're talking military Humvee H1.
Yeah, but the H1 wasn't that, remember? The H1 was they took the military Humvee, and then they ballered it the fuck out with, like, you know, full leather upholstery, really nice fucking air conditioning.
Yeah, that's right.
So it was, for all intents and purposes, a luxury vehicle, but it was massive and it guzzled fuel. I think I would rather drive I'd rather drive the Hummer, honestly, I think.
All right.
Because at least it's going to be comfortable.
Yeah.
In a sense.
All right. Race car Aston Martin or the old NSX? Old NSX. I couldn't drive a race car for 8 hours.
No, I couldn't either.
Any Tesla or the Alpha 4/8C? You might make it farther in a Tesla. It's got to be an alpha, dude. Like, honestly, like, you're approaching the same level of creature comforts.
Right.
Not so much luxury, right? Because the alpha is more of a track-oriented car than the Tesla is, obviously. But same level of creature comforts. And it's gas and not electric.
Yeah. I mean, it's again, the only thing I can come back to is, you know, it's more convenient in the Alpha, and at least the Alpha sounds good.
Mm-hmm. All right, Viper or an E30 M3. I am 100% driving a Viper over an E30 M3. That's not even a question to me, bro.
Really?
That's not even a question. I know the Viper will make it there.
That's valid. Well, I mean, the E30 would probably make it there, but, you know.
Not back.
Yeah, fair.
Like, yeah, the Viper's a V10, and yeah, I'm gonna fucking hate my life the entire time I'm driving it down there, but at least in a 5th-gen Viper, I have everything.
Yep.
Everything. In an E30 M3, I have nothing. Now, if this was a 1st-gen Viper versus an E30 M3, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Right? Because it only came in a Targa top.
Yep.
Or not Targa. It was the removable roof.
Yeah, Targa top.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought the Targas were the fucking the weird ass T top.
No, that's a T top. A Targa is basically the roof panel right above you.
Yeah,
lifts,
it just
up,
lifts up.
And it has the back glass and then it has your windshield.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So it was a Targa top that came in the 1st-gen Viper.
And I mean, honestly, I wouldn't mind a Targa top rolling down the highway.
Yeah, but in a 1st-gen Viper.
No, hell no.
Yeah, right.
No.
Like in a 5th or even a 4th-gen Viper.
Yeah.
Right? A 4th-gen or a 5th-gen Viper. Minty. The car.
Especially
badass.
It was an SRC 12.
How long has it been since that?
2016. Oh,
since in the podcast, it's probably been a season.
A season, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Figured we might as well.
SRT 12s are this way, sir.
The Windy City sure does look pretty this time of year. Slides bag of hot Cheetos
a
across
hot
the
Cheetos. The SRT 12s are this way.
Oh, man. Came up with that fucking joke in 2016.
Right.
Oh, shit.
All right. E30 M3 moves on. Bugatti Veyron or Classic Mustang?
Neither of these are good.
Neither of these are good.
In this sense, I think I would almost rather drive the Mustang.
Whenever I put Classic Mustangs, I was thinking, like, you know,
like
notchbacks.
Yeah, notchbacks.
Or fastbacks.
Yeah.
I would almost drive the notchback.
Over a Bugatti Veyron.
Over a Veyron.
Yeah.
Which is very, very weird to say.
Yeah, no, that's... It's a very weird premise.
Yeah, but I love notchbacks. Notchbacks. Hot take. Notchbacks are better than fastbacks. At me.
I agree.
There you go. All right. You heard it here first, folks. Aston Martin in 24 or Tesla? I'm driving a race car Aston over a Tesla on a road trip.
I hate to say that I agree with you.
Yeah, I know, right? Okay, yes. Dog box cut gears, whining the entire way.
Yeah.
But vantage noises.
And as long as you're somewhere cold, I mean, the race car engine's going to keep you hot.
Yeah.
Nice and toasty.
Yeah, exactly.
You won't be able to go any drive-thrus.
No.
Because it's the world's smallest windows.
No, you absolutely won't. However.
It'll be fun.
Noises.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
More fun than I think I'd have in a Tesla. I mean, I guess it's all,
okay,
you know,
so you're going, subjective. You're literally going from creature comfort, but 200 miles, to all of the miles, but no creature comfort.
Yeah.
Literally none. You are in a carbon bucket seat.
Yes.
I don't know.
I don't either, man. I feel like I'd have a lot more fun in an Aston. Again, that's subjective, because fun to you could be throwing in an autopilot and just watching Netflix.
No, dude. Come on, man. Why has it got to be like this?
Yeah.
So hear me out.
Yeah.
If the Aston moves forward, I don't remember what the last two are. I know one of them is
E30 versus Bugatti.
So if the Aston moves forward, it's going to be versus Bugatti. And then if the Tesla moves forward, it's going to be versus Bugatti.
Yeah, I...
So would you much rather drive Aston race car or Bugatti? Or would you much rather drive Tesla or Bugatti? So this matchup right here, personally... fuck me, man.
Honestly?
Creature comforts are the Tesla.
No, I...
But
if you're road tripping for that much...
So what happens when you're in your Aston race car and you have to go over the Rockies in March? Right. Nothing happens. You sit on the side of the road until the snow melts.
You're doing that in a Tesla either way, though.
Not in a Model X.
I wouldn't want to take a fucking Model X through that.
No, I wouldn't, but it would do it.
Barely.
But it would.
Instant torque out of a Model X, you're spinning all four wheels in the snow.
It's got the traction control shit, man.
It's it's still instant torque.
I know, but I would much rather in the snow over the Rockies be in a Tesla that has a 5-star crash rating. The only vehicle to have a rollover rating.
Yeah.
Tesla, 100%. That's not even a question anymore.
I know, but it's so fucking inconvenient.
The extra 5 to 6 days would be worth my safety in the Rockies.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Honestly. I mean, I'll give you that.
Alright.
It's just so fucking inconvenient.
I agree. E30 M3 versus Bugatti. Bugatti's obviously the worst car to drive.
Yeah.
Out of the two.
Again, weirdly enough, hyper luxurious hypercar, I would rather drive a BMW from the late 80s.
Yes. Alright. Our final is the Aston Martin race car.
This is not at all where I thought this was going. Aston Martin doing this. I'm almost regretting putting this on the list.
Yeah. Because, it's literally a race car. Yeah. It's literally a race car with a license plate on it.
Yeah.
I mean, did they homologate the C6R? I don't think they did.
They didn't.
I know they homologated the Senna GTR.
Mm-hmm.
There's two of those.
Yep.
Quote, homologate. But yeah, they did do that. I think they homologated the Audi R8 LMS. Like, two or three of them, something like that. I don't remember off the top of my head. But, alright, yeah. Anyways, the final is the Aston Martin N24 or the Bugatti Veyron. Shit, man. I would drive the Bugatti.
You think?
I would drive the Bugatti before I drove the race car. You have a Veyron.
I agree with you.
And an N24 in your garage. What do I have to road trip the Bugatti's
going to be more comfortable? It's not what would you have to road trip. It's which one would be easier to look at and say, no, I'm going to fucking buy the plane tickets.
The race car.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
the race car. It's 100%. Yeah. Oh, goodness.
I mean,
it's the race car.
As much as I would like it to be something else on this list.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. If you had to, choose a car from this list, what do you think it would be?
Road trip in?
No, to say, no, that is the car that is absolutely not. Like, you get your choice out of all 32.
It's always been the Aston. It always will be the Aston. Fuck that, I'm not driving a race car 13 hours. But at the same time, I almost wish we hadn't included it.
Yeah.
Like, just because it's so...
Okay, so which car would you take?
Out of these ones?
I could absolutely take this and be right there, right? Like, it would be so easy just to get in the car and drive. Like, this is the one that you're fighting with yourself. Your friend is like, yeah, let's take the car, and you're like, but the plane ticket's easier. And then you're just back and forth, which car do you take instead of buying the plane ticket? Out of all 32 cars.
Hmm. Honestly? Scroll up to the top real quick.
What do you think?
Let's see what we have.
GT2 RS, Aventador SVJ. a prelude. Actually, you know what? I know exactly what car it is.
What?
I want to hear yours first, but I know exactly what my car is.
Scroll down a little bit. Honestly, for me,
yeah,
I'd go with the Merc SLS or the AMG
GTR.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah.
I would have a ZR1.
Really?
Mm-hmm. 100%. C6 Corvette's comfortable car to drive.
Yeah. I mean, so the reason for me being is that the SLS, I mean, it's got the comfort mode and everything, but I mean, it was still meant, unless you get the AMG GTR Pro.
Yeah.
Which is the caged track car.
Yeah. With the cage.
The SLS still has, you know, it has plenty space in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get one that's, you know, a newer model,
mm-hmm.
it's comfortable. It's got all the creature comforts in it. I could totally see myself doing it. The only problem is it's rear-wheel drive.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm in the same boat with the ZR1, yeah. but the ZR1 literally has the liftgate in the
yeah.
back. It literally has
yeah.
so much storage space.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's the C6, right? Let's say the C7 ZR1, right? It has, 200 more horsepower, something like that? It's got, like, 760
yeah.
horsepower, something like that?
I mean, it was meant as a competitor to the Hellcat.
Right. So, even with that ZR1, I think I would still have that over the SLS AMG.
You think?
I think so. Just because, I mean, sure, you don't... I mean, you're getting slightly better creature comforts out of the Merc, right? But you're not getting Corvette comfort out of a Merc.
I mean, so this is the AMG GT trunk.
Right. Okay, so it has a lift gate as well. It's got the, yeah.
It's Mercedes AMG comfort. You're going to get a more comfortable ride and a more, you know, probably comfortable experience out of the AMG.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I just...
And actually, holy shit, that's the Black Series trunk. So sure, it's caged, but it still has a shit ton of room.
Mm-hmm. It's just caged, like it just has the halo cage,
right?
And,
exactly.
And the rear X bar. It does, like it's not taking up any of the trunk at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'd totally do it in an AMG, honestly.
That would be a good one. That would be a good road trip in an AMG, or I mean, even in a C6 ZR1.
Yeah, even in a C6.
Like
I mean,
honestly, both of those cars, I would genuinely consider road tripping.
Yeah, I would too. 100%.
There you go. So the worst car to road trip is if you got a Veyron.
Yeah.
Or no, it's the Aston.
Yeah, it's the Aston. It's but the I mean, Aston. if we take the Aston off the list,
it's the Veyron.
It's the Veyron.
Yep. Worst car to road trip is the Veyron. Best car to road trip is either the C6 ZR1, C7 ZR1, or the AMG GTR.
I still want to give an honorable mention to the Tesla because it could be either way. It's one of those things where I think it depends entirely on how long of a road trip. And how new
yes.
the Tesla.
So, kind of like a caveat to Tesla, right? My uncle lives in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And can only make it to Abingdon
yep.
area before he has to park it overnight and charge it with
yep.
a wall charger because there's nothing in Abingdon.
Yeah, and that's kind of why
yeah.
it's on this list. I mean, that's really the only reason. Because if you look at it, I mean, it's comfortable.
Yes.
Sure, some of them aren't the best build quality I've noticed. You know, it's a lot of, you know, pokey plastics that creak a lot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's still a comfortable car. You have autopilot, which is cool as shit.
Yep.
It's got a really great crash safety rating. But it's just so inconvenient.
Absolutely.
We don't have the infrastructure necessary to have, you know, hey, a 30-minute charge. And even then, a 30-minute charge is, that's an extra 30 minutes every time you have to stop.
Yes.
Onto your journey, even using a supercharger. Not
yes.
to mention how much time it's going to add just to be able to navigate
to
the supercharger.
Where the superchargers are.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
So it's just, at this point in time, it's just too inconvenient to be justifiable.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. I do want to give an honorable mention to Audi.
Yeah.
Audi, 100% of the time, will beat out anything on this list when it comes to what car do you want a road trip? Let's take
mm-hmm.
the Audi. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not even, like, I didn't even think about buying a plane ticket.
Mm-hmm.
I'm driving my Audi wherever
yep.
the fuck I want to go.
Yep.
Because it'll do it.
Yep.
I know it will. Doesn't matter what fucking car you have.
It's all-wheel drive. It's
yep.
safe.
Yep.
I mean, as long as you don't have one that was known for having problems.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
Yep.
So.
Honestly, though, like, I think an R8 would still beat everything on this list.
I almost agree with you. Actually, like, I think even compared to the two that we picked out that would be good, I still think the Audi R8, because, I mean, the Audi R8 has, sure, it doesn't have as much trunk space as something like the SLS or the Z01, but it's all-wheel drive.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah, okay, so it's all-wheel drive, even if you get the 8-cylinder. Plus, gated manual noises are fucking hot.
I'm not sure I'd want to take a road trip in a gated man. I guess it doesn't matter. It's all personal preference.
Yeah. I mean, you could get Audi's DSG.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're either making DSG
farts
10-cylinder noises or gated 8-cylinder noises. So it's either or.
Yeah.
And just the is. Oh my god. All right, I think we've wasted enough of the listeners' time.
Yes.
That's been about an hour, hour and 30 minutes, not bad, hour 25. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode, and we will see you
all. What do we have coming up in the next one?
I
think we can get Corey on.
Yeah, see, like, saying that we can get Corey on is like counting your eggs before they hatch.
I know, because we had him on last week and I wasn't here.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know.
So, the episode idea that you have, I kind of want to keep as a surprise until he actually shows up.
Yeah. Because he doesn't even know about it, does he? I don't think we told him about it.
Yeah, we did. Because you called before we started the episode last week and told me, me, Corey, and Tyler about it when we were all sitting here.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that it's a good idea. Stay tuned. The next time we get Corey on,
because I think you guys are really gonna like this one.
I actually think you guys are gonna enjoy it. So stay tuned, and the next time we have Corey, that's gonna be the episode that comes at you guys. I will give you all a hint. It might have to do with me selling the Subaru.
Doomsday scenario?
? And that's all we're gonna give you. Thank you guys so much. False Instagram. Yes, and we're barely on TikTok anymore, but it's there.
If you want to follow us, there's like 3 videos.
Yeah, right. It's there.
Yeah.
You don't have to. You know what you do.
Yep.
We love you
all. Do what you do.
Yes. All right. Love you guys. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you all in the next one.
In the next one.